Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and welcome to Kenneth Copeland Bible College this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise the Lord God forevermore. My, we had a good time last week, did we not? I tell you what, I have more fun than anybody on the planet. I've been doing this for 53 years, and it's like me, I just got started. Amen. Glory to God. Ain't got time to die. Well, who wants to die when you're having this kind of fun, brother? Amen. Open your Bibles with me, and our first scripture this morning will be in the 24th chapter of the book of Isaiah, please. We're talking about covenant faith. We're talking about faith that grows and becomes extremely strong when a believer becomes covenant-minded. You are a covenant soldier. Stop and think about what happens when a person enlists in military service. He has a contract with the United States government. He has a covenant with the government. And he has a purpose, and that's to protect and stand up for the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. He has a covenant. Amen. And he has entered into a covenant into which he is willing and able to offer his life for that covenant. In return, the government of the United States, let's draw it down to cases, the government of the United States, and then that branch of service. I was in the United States Army, the Air Force, Marines, Navy. That service provides everything for that soldier. The scripture said, no man goes to war at his own expense. Well, the man of God is thoroughly furnished. How? By covenant. You have entered into a covenant with the government of heaven, and you have offered your life and everything it does, everything it has and always will have. And God offered his life and gave it for you and gave you everything he has, everything he knows, everything he... And he's offering you full supply. No way he intended for you to go to war at your own expense. You should prosper to the uttermost. Not for prosperity's sake, but for the sake of the people. Meet the needs of the people. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Isaiah 24, are you there? Verse 4, the earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. I mean, that's so simple, you'd have to have help to misunderstand that. But people just read by that and say, well, yeah, you know, they broke the covenant. Yeah. That's huge. but you have to be covenant-minded. After a while, you get to where you see anything that says testament, covenant. Boy, I mean, your flag goes straight up. I want to know what this means. I want to dig into this more. I'm a covenant man. I'm a covenant woman. My family's covenant. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now then, let's go back to Galatians 3, where we began last week, and read our, what I call the golden text, in Galatians 3, 7 through 11. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, is it evident, for the just shall live by faith. There it is, the blessing and the curse. It is the Bible. It is the Bible. Now, our English translators did their best to get over to us the will of God by calling it testament. For some reason, testament means covenant. What is the last will and testament? It's the covenant that a man makes with his family over what he does with his earthly goods. It's a covenant made with the family. So instead of reading the will, you read the covenant. This is the covenant with the family. But people and with Western minds don't think covenant. Particularly English-speaking people, they think testament. Well, this is the will. Well, we just don't know what the will of God is. You've got His will in testament. Amen. That's what you do at church. You read the will. It is the will of God. Yeah. Yeah. And they were doing their best to get that over to English-speaking people. However, they got that over and lost the whole covenant idea. But praise God, we've got it back. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to give the Lord a praise this morning. So, now, let's go to the book of James, please. And we'll read in the second chapter, 23rd verse. The scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You notice it's capitalized? Now that's huge. That is covenant correct. He's the friend. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It's a covenant friend. In our case, our Father, El Shaddai himself, is our friend. He's my father, but he's my covenant friend. He's not this. No, he's my friend. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of the living God, Lord Advocate General of the church. Hallelujah is my blood brother. Now, I'm Native American. That's big to me. I mean, when I was a little boy, I always wanted to have a blood brother. And all of you are so young, you don't remember who Bing Crosby was. But some of you do. And when I was a little boy, I mean, he was the biggest singer in town, brother. I mean, he was the Elvis of the day. And we drove right by McMurray College. It's McMurray University now, but back then it was and they're the McMurray Indians. And there was they had a sign out there by McMurray, said McMurray College, and they had this Indian with, you know, feathers and all. And I'd say, Mama, I grow up, I'm going to be an Indian and sing like Bing Crosby. Amen. And I had, you know, I knew that on my mother's side, that we're Cherokee. And I got thinking about that, and I thought, I wonder how much of that I just made up. I'm not going to mention that anymore till I find out for sure. Ain't no use lying in the pulpit. So, and it ran my DNA on Ancestry.com, and it just wasn't there. So I didn't mention it anymore. And my granddaughter, Rachel, said, Papa, I found out what the truth is about this. She said, Ancestry.com doesn't have any Native American markers. Native American people wouldn't give it to them. They're still a little touchy. Amen. I say, we still a little touchy. And she said, but I have found a specialty lab. They specialize in that. I said, okay, let's get my DNA right there. And sure enough, it's Cherokee. Glory to God. And a couple of tribes up in Minnesota I never heard of before. So I got a little dab of stuff there I didn't know I had. Amen. But a covenant meant something to me when I was a little boy. And I loved it. It was all part of my life and part of my DNA. Amen. I didn't realize then that God was preparing me for what I'm doing this morning. Covenant of blood. Hallelujah. And the way it works. So now, we talked about these different areas of the basic fundamentals of faith and so forth. But now this is just so important. The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed. What did Abraham believe? He believed what he said. What did he say? He swore. He swore an oath to him. He made covenant promises. Unbreakable promise. Did you hear me? Unbreakable promises. That book is unbreakable. Now you know what truth is. Truth is an unbreakable blood sworn oath of covenant. It is absolute truth. It cannot be broken. God is truth. And we worship Him in truth. What does that mean? In spirit and in truth. We worship Him around the truth of His covenant. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord has come upon you, has come upon you in times past, time and time and time again. But those moments, as precious as they were, are only the beginning, saith the Lord, for the best is yet to come. So rejoice and be glad, for my will is being carried out in your life and in your family. And there's a couple of family problems that are going to get worked completely out, and it'll be sooner than you think, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did that witness to your spirit? I'm glad. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The friend of God. God's friend. So when God saw what had to be done at Sodom and Gomorrah, he went to talk with his friend about it. He couldn't do anything else because his friend owned the earth. God owned heaven. He didn't own the earth. Never has owned the earth. He created it, but he gave it to men. Never has owned it. By right of creation, he does. But there's no way he could go in there and destroy that whole race of people. Do you remember he had to come down and see what was happening there? He wouldn't butt in on that. But report of that sin got through to him. So he came down to check it out, and sure enough, it is had to be destroyed. But he didn't destroy, he didn't own that place. Well, I got some more news from you. Neither does the devil. Amen. He had to go talk to the owner, and that owner's name was Abraham. He's not going to butt in on your church. He's not going to butt in on your ministry. If he has a plan to happen in your ministry, he'll come talk to you about it. And you can do what you want to do about it. You cannot do it at all. But don't lie about it. And when he comes to you and says, Kenneth, what are you going to do about this? I said, nothing. Why? Did you realize all the praying you ever did never informed God of anything? It did more to inform you. Amen. Well, he's talking to me about what the ministry that just happened there just a moment ago with this young man. And boy, I didn't want to do that. Oh, no. And he'd be talking to me about it. And so then he came and he said, what are you going to do about this? I said, nothing. Don't you plan to do that? I said, no, I do not. Why? I said, because, sir, I'm liable to make a mistake. And I don't want to do that. And make a mistake and affect somebody's life. He said, Kenneth, you're making the mistake now. He said, by not being willing to move on this, you're already making the mistake that will hurt people's lives. I said, sir, I see it. Yes, sir. I'm yours to command. I'll do it. But now I could have whined around about that and kind of dodged it and all that and maybe not even gotten there yet and just be floundering around somewhere. God would get it done, but he just have to use somebody else to do it. So, does that help? Yes. All right. Now, the friend of God. Now then, oh, Lord Jesus, look with me in John 15, Gospel of John 15 chapter. Now, always remember, keep this in the forefront of your thinking when you're studying, reading. How much time do I have, Tim? In the Gospel of John. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 was all spoken in the covenant meal. All of that is in that Last Supper, that last Passover meal, where he said, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood of the new covenant. All of you drink of it." Now, was Judas there?
Yes.
Did he drink of it?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Big. This is huge. And you'll see it here in a minute. All right. Verse 13, 15, 13. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Capitalize that F. "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And look up we don't have time to do it this morning, but go ahead and look up the other places where he called them no longer servants, but friends, and so forth. Now then, Matthew 26. Oh, dear Jesus. Verse 47. "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him, a great multitude, swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave him a..." Now what did he do? It said he covenanted with them for 30 pieces of silver. "Whomsoever I kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. Forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend," capitalized, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Judas broke the covenant. Jesus did not. He did not. We're talking about covenant faith. And how powerful your faith will become, because through covenant and being a covenant thinker, a covenant of blood, the most serious agreement in the human family, in the human race. It's always been that way, ever since the first one in the 17th chapter of Genesis. So turn there, please, in your Bibles. When God made covenant with Abram and changed his name. I want us to notice that specifically this morning. When Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Now, we mentioned last week, El, meaning God, singular. Elohim in Hebrew is God, plural. But here he used the singular. I am the Almighty God. Now, Almighty is the God that's more than enough. We talked about this last week, but it's worth going over again. That word, Almighty. Well, think about it in English. Almighty. Boy, that says it. But it doesn't get to the root of it. It's referring to a woman's breast. It's called the nurse, the one that nourishes, that mother. A mother is everything to that child. She gave life to that child. She's the food for that child. She's the one that the baby talks to. And, you know, little babies talk in tongues for quite a while. And she can understand them. I'd say, Gloria, What'd he say? She'd tell me. What Kelly say? She'd tell me. I didn't get that. Men don't get it. Amen. We, you know, they have to grow up a while before we get it. But everything, God, who is as much female as he is male. But he created the man first. So he is referred to in the male gender. I know there are women try to refer to him in the female gender. And, you know, I can understand that, I guess, a little. But don't mess with that. When you do, you're messing with covenant and you don't know what you're doing. Anyway, that's something else entirely. But she's everything. I want you to know El Shaddai in the flesh, Jesus of Nazareth. All of heaven is all about him. All the church is all about him. In my life, it's all about him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you have to understand something about him. To him, it's all about you. He gave it to you. Very, very close friend of Gloria and mine. And, I'll tell you, Janny Grind. Janny wrote a lot of the music that I recorded in times past. She's in heaven today. And so's Bill. And she got very, very sick and died. Went to heaven. Wanted to stay. And the Lord said, no, you have to go back. Well, she said, all right. And she said he took a few steps and turned around and looked at her and said, Janny, you don't owe me anything. She was thinking, well, you know, I just owe him everything. I have to do what he turned around and said, you don't owe me anything. He said, I gave it all to you. Well, that's kind of hard on you thinking, because I owe him everything. But no, I don't. He's a free gift. I can't pay for it. He's a free gift. And when you receive him as a gift, that's when the sweetness begins. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And if those of you watching, if you've never accepted him as Lord and Savior, do it right now. It's the easiest thing you ever did in your life. Lord, take my life and do something with it. I believe I receive it. Glory to God. Say, can't be that easy. Oh, yeah, it is, baby. Let me tell you. He did all the hard part. It wasn't easy at all. He went to hell for you and suffered like no man's ever suffered. He did everything except the one thing he could not do, and that was pray your prayer. So pray it and enjoy the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, it's precious, is it not? Now then, when Abram was 90 years old, now, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou blameless. I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to be and to your seed after you. And if you belong to Jesus, if you are in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? Yeah. Woo! Oh, that's shouting ground, bro. That's dancing ground, bro. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. But I wanted you to notice the name change. And that name change is exceedingly important because God injected his name in the middle of Abram's name, that H. We talked about this last week. But it's beyond important. It's vital. This is vital, absolute vital information. Vital information. So important. He changed his name. What did he do? He gave, Professor, you back me up on this. He literally gave Abram his name. Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir. Hashem.
Hashem. Oh, yeah, sure. He literally gave him his name. You gave Michelle your name when you entered covenant.
Yes, sir.
That's where that came from. Came right out of the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, let's talk about prenuptial agreements. You're not married. You entered into a covenant. That prenuptial agreement is the covenant, not the marriage. That's just legal adultery. Now, I'm not judging anybody for, well, yeah, I am too. I judge that act because that's a non-covenant. I'm making a covenant with you, but you can't have anything I have. All I want is your body. I have a word for that. To hell with it. That's where it came from. Praise God. I want you to know and think about this. Gloria Copeland entered into covenant with me on Friday the 13th of April, 1962. We entered into covenant that day. She took my name. She's never had any problem since signing my name.
Amen.
And the bank will honor it just as quick as they will mine. Why? Because what's in that bank is as much hers as it is mine. She can just clean out the bank account. I wish she would. I can't get her to take enough of it. I mean, I all she has to do is say, "My, I like that. I'm going to buy it." That day, if I can find one. We were in London, and She came back to the hotel. She'd been out shopping. And she said, "Kenneth, I've just seen the most beautiful car I have ever seen in all my life." I said, "What was it?" She said, "I don't know, but it was a convertible." And she said it was a red light blue with a navy blue top. It was gorgeous. "You don't know what kind?" "No, I don't know what it was." So when we were leaving the hotel, we walked out. We were headed home, walked out, and there it sat. She said, "Kenneth, that's it right there. That's it right there." Well, it was a Jaguar. And a gorgeous thing. I mean, just sky blue with a navy blue convertible top, all white interior. So when I got home, I started looking. I didn't say anything to her about it. She'd already said she liked it. That means she ought to have it. Did you know that's the way your Lord thinks about you? And the problem is he can't get the church to figure that out. But he's married to you. That's the reason we're called the bride of Christ. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And found one exactly like it. The steering wheel was just over on the proper side of the car. It's in the garage today. Thank you very much. Bought that car fast as I could get home and buy it. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. Hey, that girl taught me how to love. That girl changed my life. Amen. We've never had an argument. We're in covenant with one another. I argued, but she never would. So I finally quit. Oh, my. She changed my life completely in two different occasions. We came back from Australia. We stopped in Hawaii to rest a couple of days. I was really, really tired. And that was back in the days when I didn't have any better sense than to get grumpy when I was tired. And I'm you know. And we were at a hotel in Honolulu and out a little continental breakfast outside on the terrace. Beautiful place. And we got through and I threw my napkin down on the table and threw the tip down on it. Well, I'd turned around this way. She had walked around behind me, and when I turned around to walk back towards the hotel, she was standing there. And she caught me by my shirt collar. And she smiled. And this little tear running down her face. And she said, "I am going to bless you some way." Changed my life. I never got grumpy again. I got grumpy, but I didn't let anybody know it. Changed my life, man. You can smile just the same as you can.
Yeah, that's right. Sure.
Amen. Amen. The other time, I had an enormous amount of pressure on me. And I was sitting in her study, and her faced up toward the back of the house. And I was just sitting there looking out across, and I was really up against it. And here again, I was more than tired. And in those days, I had an enormous amount of pain. And after that disc blew up in 2004, but I'm completely pain-free now. Anyway, thanks be unto my covenant, brother. And she walked around behind me. Now listen to this, because you can use this to minister. I've used it to minister to people. She walked around behind me, put her hands on my shoulder, both shoulders like this. She said, "Kenneth, Jesus finds no fault in you, and neither do I." put a smile on my face, and it's been there ever since. I said, it's been there ever since. Jesus finds no fault with me. I can prove it in the first chapter of the book of James. Any man needs wisdom, ask of God who gives liberally to all men, and upbraideth not. To upbraid means to find fault. He doesn't find any fault with you. Well, let's get back down to business here. But that is business, amen. Yeah. That minister to you. So he changed his name. He gave him his name. It was not just in behalf of becoming the father of many nations. That's what it means. But he did it because of covenant. He gave him his name. Now, this is referred to by the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians. Let's go over there, please. This will knock your hat in the creek. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind. You have to let yourself think this way, particularly if you've got any little tiny bit of religion left in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Hallelujah. You're not taking away from the deity of Jesus or the absolute Godship of God to be called equal with Him. You're His child. You're in covenant with Him. You're on an equal level with Jesus. You're a joint heir with Christ. What else do you need? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only that, He's your best covenant friend. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, watch it. Look at it. But made of himself no reputation. You don't go around bragging about it. Took upon the form of a servant and was made in the likeness, or he is made a human being. Glory to God. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name. Now, Bullinger and his study Bibles and other translations translate it, and should be this way, and gave him his name. He gave him his name. He did it again. He gave Abraham his name, and now he gave Jesus his name. Glory to God. Woo! Man, this is shouting ground, isn't it? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of beings and names in heaven and beings and names in earth and beings and names under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is El Shaddai, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is Jehovah, to the glory of Jehovah, the Father. Woo, glory to God. We're talking about covenant faith. The powerful inner strength. The book of Hebrews calls it a strong consolation, but that consolation is a strong inner strength to become like Abraham, fully persuaded that God is able to do what he said he'd do. But now there's another step to becoming fully persuaded. He can do whatever he said he would do. I'm talking about the Almighty God, El Shaddai himself. There's another phrase to that. He will do everything he said he would do. Because he swore every word of this book in blood. And Jesus shed the blood of the everlasting covenant. And last week we talked about the fact that from the book of Hebrews, and maybe before this week's up, we'll maybe get back into that again, and probably will. Because the Almighty God could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. He is, now think this through, he is the guarantee of the covenant. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, which has taken away the sin of the world, is that guarantee. Amen. Surely Jesus bore our sicknesses, carried our pains, our griefs and sorrows and weaknesses on that cross. Surely by those stripes we're healed. Can you see it? It's guaranteed. The price has already been paid. Now that was a promise in the book of Isaiah, but then it was fulfilled in Matthew 8:17. That which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. But 1 Peter 2:24. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. That's no longer a promise. That's a Bible fact. Kelly came home from school one day, and she said, "Daddy, I'll tell you, I've had all the symptoms of flu on me all day long." She said, "Would you pray for me, please?" I said, "Certainly." And when I laid hands on her, the word of the Lord came to me. I said, "Kelly, you are not the sick trying to get healed. You are the healed, and the devil's trying to take your health away from you." Say it. I will never have the flu again in my life forever. Copeland, I wouldn't say that. I know it. That's the reason you get sick twice a year. God intended for all of us by covenant to live out our lives on this earth and never be sick. And I learned that a long time ago. Amen. Amen. No use being sick. Yeah, but then I brought it on myself. Well, so what? Repent. Don't stay sick because you did it. I'd say that's stupid gone to seed, wouldn't you? I mean, come on. If the truth be known, you and I caused everything to ever happen to us. Well, God allowed it. No, he didn't. You did. All the authority over the devil, sin, sickness, disease, poverty, and all of that has been put into the authority in the hands of the body of Christ in the name of Jesus, and we need to be doing something about it. Amen. Oh, there's some other things I'd really love to say to you about that. Now, let's go here in the 17th chapter of Genesis once more, where God gave Abram his name. Abram was 90 years old and nine. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. Walk before the God that's more than enough. Walk before me and be blameless. I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. Now, he gave him, as we talked about yesterday, he literally gave him his name. And Professor Stevens reminded me of Hashem. Oh, I appreciate that, man. That's what comes when you know the Hebrew language. You know, I know awful. If it wasn't people like him, I wouldn't know anything. Amen. And we talked about covenant, the name change. And this has come down. We talked about it last week. This has come down through the ages. This was the first blood covenant that was generally known among men. The first one was in the Garden of Eden. But this one is the one that affected the human race. The first blood covenant. And after that, the nations, particularly the so-called uncivilized nations. In a lot of cases, this was only the only law that in a whole general area, people entered into covenant and created law, and the penalty for breaking it was the death penalty. And it caused problems. And in African nations and so forth. And then white people came in there and didn't understand that. And they can't understand how come these people keep trying to kill one another. And they try to pass laws to keep them from doing it. They don't care nothing about your law. Their law has been broken. Somebody has broken this covenant, and our family for three generations are covenanted to find them and kill them. And all their offspring for breaking a covenant of blood. You can't do that. And the seriousness and the power from it came because of this one right here. And people changed their names. When Gloria and I got married, I gave her my name. We talked about that yesterday. Now, Exodus 15:26. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments. What are those commandments? Articles of covenant. And keep his statutes. I'll put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am Jehovah Rapha. That's his name. Now, covenantless people, I'm talking about good people, deceived people. Covenantless people. Don't take the mind of the ungodly. Thinking like the ungodly. I'm talking about born again, Holy Ghost baptized people. Good people, sweet people. Just don't know any better. Well, how does God think? Well, we know how he thinks. He calls things that be not as though they were. That's the way he thinks, and that's the way we think. And when we do it and say it, they think we're crazy. Well, that's all right. Well, that's that name it and claim it, blab it and grab it bunch. Yes. I named it, claimed it, blabbed it, grabbed it, and I've still got it. Oh, yeah. Because that's fundamentals of faith. Faith in what? The covenant. And the covenant declarations. So that's God's name. Well, may I ask you a question? When did healing pass away? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He would have had to have changed his name. He can't do that. He's given his name. As an aha moment. When did he change his name? Well, I believe it's God put that cancer on them. Yeah, that's the will of God for them to have cancer. What day did God create cancer?
Wow.
He didn't.
Nope.
Well, it says God will smite you. Those were covenant words. Those were acts of covenant that later was actually carried out in the book of Joshua, thanks to Professor Stevens. I know this now. I'd read it, but it didn't really impact me until after he and I began to study together and think about these things. You remember the little city of Ai?
Yeah.
And what happened there? Well, they killed that king. And they had to do this over again because this younger bunch had never, they weren't there in Deuteronomy 27. When they were on two different mountains, blessing one and cursing the other. This is covenant. This is what you get if you keep it. This is what happens to you when you break it. And they broke it and it happened. So now here it is. They actually did it again, but they hung that king on a tree. Had to be done. It's the type. It's the shadow. For cursed, it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. They hung him on a tree and impaled him. Now it's complete. Now the type is complete. It has been set. I like to say it like this. It has been set in stone. It is going to happen exactly that same way. It's going to happen perfectly that same way at the very perfect moment in time on a place called Calvary. Outside the city. The scapegoat was led outside the city. Oh, praise God forevermore. But it's so important, that name, Psalms 23, the great 23rd Psalm. So sweet. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is my shepherd. Yehovah Raha. That's his name. Yehovah Raha. That's exciting. It's his name. Isaiah 54, 8 through 17. This will change your life. It'll change your ministry. I have not heard this preached, and it needs to be preached. In some churches, it needs to be preached every Sunday morning for 6 months. In a little wrath, now see, Isaiah 53, Jesus is on the cross. Isaiah 54 is being spoken to the church. Seeing, O barren, thou that did not bread before, seeing more of the children than done in large bread and so forth, that's talking to the church. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. What? 3 days and nights. But with everlasting kindness, chesed, will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn, hey, I have sworn, I made covenant with Noah. I made covenant with the animals. I made a rainbow, and I swore by covenant I'd never do it again. Does that impact you now? I should no more, the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. So have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. Well, you know, God's mad at you. That's the reason he sent that tornado. That's a lie from hell. We just read the truth. He swore it, did he not? He's a covenant God. He's ever mindful of that covenant. He's talking to the body of Christ. He's not mad at you, never has been mad at you, and never will be mad at you. He may be disappointed in you, but that won't last any length of time because he's still got a smile on his face. For the mountains shall part and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempests, not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay your foundation with sapphires. I'll make your windows of agates and your gates of carbuncles and all the borders of pleasant stone. And all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness shall you be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And from terror, for it shall not come nigh thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. I didn't do it. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I created a smith that blows the coals in the fire, that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I created the waster, if this says to destroy. I created the waster that destroys. Therefore, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Their righteousness is of me. Yehovah Sitzkanu is his name. The righteousness of God. How much time do I have, Tim? Genesis 22:5. Well, at least we'll have time to introduce this one and get into it tomorrow. Genesis 22:5. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed another man's field, the best of his field and the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restoration? Unless we need to really read down the 14th verse. Man borrow aught of his neighbor, be hurt, and so forth. He's talking about Yehovah Jireh. Yehovah Jireh, the one who sees and provides. I messed up some scripture references there. I'll get them right for tomorrow. In the name of Jesus. We got 1 minute. Judges 6, 21 through 24. We won't go there. Gideon. Yehovah Shalom. My peace. And teaching Hebrew today in Israel. To people learning the language. The short version of Shalom is nothing missing, nothing broken. Now, let's go back to where we were yesterday. I had the right scripture reference. Somehow or another, I turned to the wrong place in my Bible. Let's go back to Genesis 22, 5. And you remember, well, I'll tell you what, this is when the Lord told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. They came to the place which God told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood on the altar, and bound his son Isaac. Now, I'm telling you what, Isaac had to be a young man of faith. He had a lot of confidence in his dad. And obviously, his dad had already informed him of all that he was called to be, that he would come up and become a great nation. Well, he believed it just like his dad believed it. So he just crawled up there. He didn't whine about it. Now, bound him, laid him on the altar. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife and to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither be thou anything, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld thy son, thine only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket. Verse 14, Abraham called the name of the place Yehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord, the provider. Hey, that's his name. That's his name. He's bound himself to provide. But my God. God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. That is referring to the covenant of provision brought about in Christ Jesus and in his anointing, because he is Jehovah Jireh in the flesh.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And if your needs are not met, don't blame anybody but yourself. Just smile, repent, get on your face like Abraham and say, okay, where'd I blow it here? I'm missing it someplace. I'm missing it someplace.
Yeah.
There's a key issue in this thing someplace. My spiritual father in the faith, Oral Roberts, told me, he said, Kenneth, when your finances start drying up, he said there's a key issue to that. And you get in there and pray till you find out. And I thought, well, you know what? That's like a Chinese puzzle. You find that one key and that whole puzzle will come apart. And then he said, most of the time, it's in the area of love and the commandment of love. That's a commandment. That is the key commandment, because God is love, and love has commanded us, since we're like him, we're created in his image, then we ought to talk like him, we ought to act like him, and love whether we feel like it or not. It is a commandment. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. I'm supposed to love. Yes, sir. I forgive her, and I love her. Thank you very much. I didn't say I liked her. But you love on purpose. I don't understand that. Well, you don't understand the word agape. Look at the conversation between Jesus and Peter. Do you agape me? Do you agape me? Peter kept coming back, I filio you. Finally, Jesus came down to his level. You know, just get a hold of him. Came there and said, okay, feed my sheep. Agape literally means to love on purpose. Filio has feelings about it. It's a natural love. Agape is supernatural love. God loves with agape love. He loves you. You can go to hell in him loving you. You can't do anything so bad that he doesn't love you. And you can't do anything so tremendously good to make him love you more. He just loves you. He's your very own father. Jehovah Jireh is your father. It's his name. Oh, somebody give the Lord a praise there. Glory be to God. Judges chapter 6. Now, this is the story of Gideon, and most of you have read it and know it, probably all of you. We won't take time to read all of that, but you can go back and study it later. 6:21, then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. When Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God. For behold, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. And Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Peace. Glory to God. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. And Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Learn of me. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. Hallelujah. Well, you know, it's just so hard serving God. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's hard serving Him when you're out of the will of God. It's hard serving Him when you don't know the laws of faith and covenant. But this takes all the stress out of it. He's your peace. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. And let the peace of God be the umpire of your heart. This is the way you learn and walk in the will of God. Well, Brother Copeland, I've got three invitations here. I can go over here to this church and preach. I can go over here and have my own meeting in that little place there, which I'd like to do. I'd like to go there. I can go over here at this church and preach. Now, I don't know this pastor, but I know his reputation. And, you know, Brother Copeland, I teach and preach faith. And I don't know. You know, in times past, they've kind of talked ugly about you. And if they talked ugly about you, Brother Copeland, they're sure going to talk ugly about me. I mean, and so I know that's not where I'm supposed to go. That's no reason to make that decision. You go get in your study, and you go get in your easy chair, and you just say, okay, do I go here, yes, sir, or no, sir? Do I go here, yes, sir, no, sir? Do I go here, yes, sir, or no, sir? Or do I turn them all down, yes, sir, no, sir? Then concentrate here. Quit thinking. Just pray in the Spirit. Just quit thinking. It may take you a while. You get your mind quiet. It may take you a few days. Take communion. Take communion. I take communion almost every day. You need to do that. Just take communion. Now that you're covenant-minded, just visualize yourself sitting there at that table. And you take that bread and you break it and you think, ooh. It didn't say you had to do it only on the second Tuesday of every month or the second Thursday or the Sunday or what. It said as often as you do this. As often as you do it. Do it and remember me when you do this. So remember Him. Remember the miracles that you've seen Him do. Remember the things that He did for you and the things that have happened in your life. Remember the day you realized His call. Remember how you got to KCBC and the miracles that He did for you. Just sit there and remember it. Oh, Jesus, thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And He said to me very sweetly one day, after we had talked about 120, and my living that long, and He said, Kenneth, I was in the exercise room on the treadmill. He said, Kenneth, I sacrificed my body for yours. And now you, Romans 12, 1. Now you are sacrificing your body for mine. All of a sudden that treadmill looked good, dog. Yeah, see what that'll do for you?
Yeah.
Communion. I'm in covenant. I'm in covenant with Shalom Himself. I'm in covenant with El Shaddai in the flesh. I'm in covenant with Jehovah Jireh. He's all of these things to me. Now, we're getting someplace. Just stay with me. Exodus 17:15, 14th verse. The Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Yeshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, And Moses built an altar and called the place Yehovah Nisi, my banner. My banner. What does that mean? I'm gonna go back to the soldiers again. All of you have been in the military.
Yeah.
What branch of service?
United States Army Reserve, sir.
United States Army. What's your banner?
Hoorah.
No, it ain't. It's that flag. The flag of the United States. Ah, God, man. That's the banner under which we go to war. That's the banner that we march under. We're soldiers in the army of the Lord, and we walk under that banner, that flag. I'd die for it in a heartbeat. I'm just too danged old to go. And they didn't have a war when I was in there. I got cheated. I was just between wars. 1957. That was a long time ago, man. Amen. That's our banner. Boy, every time I see it, God just... I get chills every time I see that flag. Oh, my. It's the most beautiful flag on the planet. Except for one. And he's my flag. He's my ensign. And I march under his flag. Ah! Ah! And it's a flag of victory, a flag of great glory. Hallelujah. Now, Malachi chapter 3. This is the most misunderstood one. And most people just in a glance misread it and call it Sabbath. And it's not, it's Sabaoth. In this little book of Malachi, let's read 3:10 first. Bring ye all the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to contain. The Lord of hosts, Yehovah Sabaoth, Yehovah Sabaoth, say it, Yehovah Sabaoth, Englishized as Jehovah. Well, you might as well say it right. Yehovah, glory to God. I said glory to God. I strongly suggest that you get the Names of God Bible. It's the MEV translation. And you talk about a fun Bible. Oh, man. It goes through the English Bible, and instead of using the English names, it uses the names of God. Like the blessing of Abraham. Amen. You keep the commandments of Elohim. Let me make sure I got it right. Hang on a second. No, Yahweh, it shall come to pass, you'll hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God. The voice of Yahweh, your Elohim. And it goes all the way through the Bible like that and explains the names. It is a treasure trove. Amen. So now, The Lord of hosts, the army, the Lord of the Sabaoth, Jehovah Sabaoth, Lord of the heavenly angelic armies of God. In this little book of Malachi, four little chapters. Go through and number them. Just write, take your red felt tip pen and go by there. And every time it says Lord of hosts, put it out there by the side of it. The first one is in verse 4. And you just go from there 22 times. He's telling you, he's telling me, I'm guaranteeing this. I will put my prosperity angels in charge over the blessing that'll come from your tithing. You prove me in this. I am the Lord of the angelic armies. I'll put them to your disposal.
Amen.
And you can say, ministering spirits, you go get my money and you get it in here. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. You don't ask angels to do anything. You command. In the name of Jesus. Not nasty or ugly. They are angels. They're spirit beings. But they're under your authority. They do not outrank you. No. No. They do not. Nothing outranks the human man, or woman. Nothing. Nothing. God could, but he won't. You created in his image. You have his authority. You're born again. Joint heir. You have command authority. Read the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Even though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm nothing but a lot of noise. But wait a minute, turn that around. If I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have love, then they're listening. You go to Hebrews 1, verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for? Well, that would mean two also, because they ministered to Jesus. But they're sent to minister for us. Amen. That's their job. And they can't do a thing unless you command them. They know what the will of God is, but they cannot carry it out without your command. We've been studying all last week and all this week covenant faith. And I have to tell you, my faith is at a place, I mean, I'm like they say down south, I'm higher than a Georgia pine, brother, on the things of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, amen. Now, I want to take you today. Yesterday when we finished, we were talking about Jehovah Sabaoth and the 22 times that is spoken, the Lord of hosts, or the Lord, which would be Jesus, the Lord, head and commander of the heavenly angelic armies of God. Well, wouldn't that include Michael, the great archangel of war? Well, of course. Wouldn't that include Gabriel? I mean, it's all the angels of God. All of them that have anything to do with the earth. Amen. Now, this is an interesting thought. The situation with Jacob's ladder, angels coming and going, that doesn't exist anymore. Not that way anymore. Hebrews chapter 1, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth during the days of darkness, when Satan had authority in this earth, in the first covenant? We don't have any idea how dark that was, because we've not been around when people were eating their children. I mean, come on. But now think about this. On the day of Pentecost, there was a big noise, not a big wind. No, it was the noise as a rushing mighty wind. It wasn't a wind. Now, I mean, they may have experienced something like that, but that's not what the book says. That noise was trillions and trillions of angels coming back into this atmosphere where they were created to be in the first place. Earth angels. And the Holy Spirit himself. And see, back there then, he wasn't just totally present. But now he's omnipresent. I mean, brother, he's present everywhere. Every place. I said everywhere. And the way he works now is just so marvelous. So marvelous. One of my very, very dear friends, he's in heaven now. And Wayne Cochran. You old rock and rollers know C.C. Rider. Well, Wayne got born again reading the Gideon Bible. He said, I stole the first Bible I had. It was the Gideon Bible. And then he and I got just close friends, he and Monica and the whole family. And they're both in heaven now. But he led the man that owned the Sands Hotel where Wayne had performed a lot in Vegas. He won him to the Lord. The guy owned the hotel, the casino, and everything. And he said to Wayne, I got to do something for God, man. He said, all I got is this old hotel and this casino. What can I do? He said, do you think Brother Copeland would come? He said, I'm learning from him on tape. Would you think he would come and have a meeting in a casino? Wayne said, of course he will. I'll call him. And boy, I jumped at it like a dog on a bone, you know. And it was shocking what all happened in there. And I'm standing back behind the curtain. We're in the casino and theater. And back in those days, we had our full band and all that. And I'm standing back there just waiting for 7:30, you know, to open up. And one of the blackjack dealers stuck his head in there and said, Brother Copeland, we're praying for you. He said, man, I'd love to come to the meeting tonight, but I'm on the floor. But I want to show you how the Spirit of God works. While we were there, I left the theater where we'd had the meeting, and I was heading back to the hotel part down this hall. And of course, you know, those hotels were just beautiful. And I'm walking along, and here comes this couple, very, very distinguished looking people. And I mean, dressed to the nines, brother. I mean, they, you know, really, really sharp looking people. The Lord said, I have a word for those people. I said, okay. I said, excuse me. They said, yes. I said, I'm a minister of the gospel. And I believe the Lord has a word for me to speak to you. May I have permission to do that? They said, yes. And I spoke the word, and they smiled and said, thank you, and just went on. And I thought, Well, you know, I did what I was told to do. I started to just turn around, because when it's something like that happens, don't get out of shape. You know you did what you're supposed to do. What if I missed it? Hey, what if you did? You did it obeying God. He won't let your words fall to the ground. And I started to walk. I turned around, and here was a guy. Greg, this guy was so drunk, he looked like he was holding up the wall. Wait a minute. I heard what you said. Will you pray for me? I said, sure, I'll pray for you. We were standing right there next to the men's room. He said, let's go in here. We went in there, and I'm telling you, he's falling down drunk. I began to pray, and I laid my hands on him. When I laid my hands on him, he straightened up. He was sober as a judge. He began to weep. He said, brother, I'm a backslid Pentecostal preacher. Thank you. Thank you for delivering me tonight. Thank God. Pays to obey God. But now see, the Spirit of God is in every casino in the world. He's in every joint. He's in every place. All you have to do is take my life. He's there. He's there. Wasn't so in the first covenant. But he's here. I said he's here. Glory to God. He is the ever-present God. He that never leaves nor forsakes us. Hallelujah. Now, all of those are his names. And here in the book of Malachi, this little book, four chapters, Yahovah Sabaoth is used 22 times, telling us that the angels of God, because that's his name. That's his name. He's commander in chief of all of the angelic armies and forces of heaven. And every human being has an angel. Now you get born again, and you can become aware of that angel. Are you kidding me? I know good and well that it was angels that kept me from getting killed over and over and over again. Yes. Thank God I had a mama that prayed night and day. And she's aware of that. Amen. But then I began to learn, it's because I grew up didn't mean my angel left. Now, you start out with one. He's the captain of the team. My good friend, Ed Dufresne, he's in heaven now. Nancy is his widow, and she pastors in Marietta, California. And I go there every year, and I'm telling you, they've been close friends of ours for years and years. And Ed was, well, I'll tell you, what a guy. He was in his hotel room. Ed was in traveling ministry. And before he and Nancy got married, she's pastor of the church, but he never pastored, wasn't called to be a pastor in the first place, called to be in the prophet's ministry. But anyway, he was in his hotel room, and he was having just some real financial situations, just terrible, big time problems. Then he's praying about it and praying about it, and he heard the motel door open, and he thought, oh, no, they've given somebody my key by mistake. And he turned around. He said when he turned around, the ceiling disappeared. And he said there were two angels. He said if that ceiling had not disappeared, I wouldn't have been able to see their heads. And they're standing there at the ready. He said, "Who are you?" They said, "We're your prosperity angels. We've come to help you financially." And Ed said, "Good," or something like that, "okay," or whatever he said. And he stood there, and they just stood there. And he said, "What are you waiting for?" They said, "The command." He said, "Go in the name of Jesus," and they just disappeared. He had to have $350,000 to keep from losing the whole church facility and everything because of a bumper note, and the property had gotten really worth more, and the bank wanted the property and wanted that church out of there. He had to have it. The last day. It's over with today. He owes $500,000, but he's got to have $350,000 to keep losing all the property, the headquarters of his ministry and the church building and everything. He and his lawyer are walking the floor. What are we going to do? Have we got some way we can do that? No. Secretary came in and said, "Came in." That's good, isn't it? Well, that still sounds right. But the secretary came in and said, "There's a man here that needs to see you." He said, "I don't want to see anybody." She said, "You need to see him." He came in, and he's still in his jogging clothes. He said, "I've heard you preach, and you scare me. I don't like it." And he said, "I don't know why I'm doing this. But anyway, here's a check for $350,000. Now see, I'm telling you, those angels were walking with him, riding there. He commanded them to go. And they're giving that suggestion. They're giving that. That's the same way the devil does. Well, don't listen to the devil. But when it starts coming to you, you need to send Brother Copeland $100. Listen to him. Come to that place where you know exactly not what you need, what you must have over and above. Make sure you know what you're doing financially. And come to that. Don't be cheap about it. But come to that. Bind the devil. You keep your hands off of my money. I bind every principality, every power, every ruler of the darkness of this world, every wicked spirit in the heavenlies. I bind you, Satan. Take your hands off my money. Yeah. Ministering spirits, go. I need $350,000. Go. Now. And then start shouting because it's done. Expect it. Expect it. Hallelujah. I was preaching in the very early days of this ministry. I just learned this from Brother Hagin. It was the first thing I ever learned from him about the ministering angels. I wound up in my mother's floor of her den under the coffee table. It was so exciting. Anyway, I was preaching in a little small church in Beaumont, Texas, and I had a 3-week meeting there. A lot of Southern Baptist people started coming. And this one fellow sat right on the front row. I mean, every service he was there, and we were there for 3 weeks, and he just having such a good time. And all of a sudden one day he just got up and walked out. Right in the middle of my message. I didn't know what was. And he wasn't there for 2 or 3 days. And then he came back. And he sat down right next to the door. The swinging doors like this. Right next to the door as on the back pew. Just as close to that door as he could get. All of a sudden, well, of course, I noticed him then I could tell something's wrong, you know, because he's sitting there to make a quick exit if he can. All of a sudden, his mouth fell open and after the service, he said, "May I speak to you?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Brother Copeland," he said, "you said something that I just made me mad." And he said, "I just left." I said, "Well, I noticed you were calm." He said, "The Lord said, I want you to go back." I said, "No, I'm not going back. I don't want to listen to that, none of that kind of stuff." The Lord said, "Yeah, you need to go back at least once." So he said, "I came back today." He said, "All of a sudden," he said, "the biggest fella I ever saw in my life, he's just like he's fastened to you." And he said, "He's all dressed in white." Said he looked like Mr. Clean. And he said he was just fastened to you. And said, "You're just walking around preaching like you always do." And he said, "You'd kind of wind down a little bit, and he'd lean over there and say something in your ear, and you'd just go wild." Well, it's happened in here this week.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I'm very aware. I've never seen him. I will. But I've never seen him. But every time we get in that airplane, whether I'm flying or whether I'm not, Father, we plead the blood over this airplane today in the name of Jesus for protection against every evil spirit, every evil person, every evil wicked plan of the devil is bound and stopped and thwarted. Ministering spirits, lift us up in your hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone, and keep us in all of our ways according to the 91st Psalm, and bless all of our partners beyond measure. You need to be praying that when you get in your car, brother.
Yes.
Sister.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Get that angel in there with you.
Amen.
Now, dear old saint of God, my God. In fact, he was pastor of the church where I was preaching during that. Ah. When he was young, driving for his dad, who was pastor, driving an old T-Model Ford over old roughy, bumpy roads. And he said, they're just driving there, coming back in the middle of the night from a meeting his dad had been preaching. And he said, started hearing music. "We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work." He said, "Brother Copeland, there wasn't any radios in those cars." And he said, "God opened my eyes." And he said, "There's an angel on each fender. And an angel just right above the hood. And they're all around the car singing to my old daddy." And he heard every word of it. He heard the angel singing to him in the middle of the night. Now, go to the 17th chapter of the book of John. How much time do I have? Oh, just exactly right. 17th chapter of John's gospel. At the covenant meal, verse 11, "And now," Jesus is praying, "I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep them through thy name, thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we're one. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name." I kept them in it.
Yes.
I kept them in it. I said, I kept them in it.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 3. Quickly, we just got just time enough to read this. Verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." The whole family is named after Him. We're named after Him. We're
Yes, sir. Thank you, Papa. Now, each of those examples that Brother Copeland shared reveals the ever-present God who never leaves us, never forsakes us. He is all things to all people. And there are benefits. Believe me, there are benefits to being in the family of God. And He saw to it, through Jesus, that our every need would be met.
The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast study notes will help you dive deeper into these powerful word-based teachings. Get all 5 days of notes at one time. Use them during the week for your personal study time. Download them free at kcm.org/notes. Create a special family devotional time to follow along with the notes as you watch the broadcast. Study the scriptures with your children and begin instilling God's word now. Use these notes to build your faith library and build up a heritage of faith.
Through your covenant with God, you have a new identity in Christ. It's time to move past the old way of living, sick, unsatisfied, and unhappy, and live in the joy of your salvation every day. Kenneth Copeland shares decades of personal revelation and tried and true Bible truth in the Who You Are in Christ package. Included is the 8-part audio series and study guide to help you understand and take hold of all that's yours in Christ. Know how much you're loved and trusted in your relationship with Father God. Be assured of success in your life because of who you are, and release healing, prosperity, and peace in your world. God has a victorious life planned for you. Knowing who you are in Christ opens you to confidently walk in all the benefits that are available through the victory that Jesus won. Healing, confidence, strong relationships, and fullness of joy are yours in Christ.
See yourself as God sees you. Request your free Who You Are in Christ package from Kenneth Copeland Ministries at kcm.org/TV special or when you call 800-600-7395. Become confident in your true identity as a child of God and experience His healing, prosperity, and peace every day. This offer is good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Right now, the news is constantly pushing out fear and doubt. But the good news is Jesus is greater than any disease or mountain of debt or any impossible situation that you may face, because He has defeated all of the curse so that you could live free, so that you could live healthy, whole, prosperous, protected. But all of that is only available after you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. I know many people watching this, you're born again, you're shouting amen, but there may be somebody right now who's listening to this and you've never prayed and invited Jesus to be the Lord of your life. If that's you, then listen, today is your day of salvation. And it's so simple. Just pray this out loud after me. Just say, Father in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of all my sin, all my past mistakes. Cleanse me. I am a new creation in you, Lord Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take my life. Do something with it. I am yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer with me, you are what the scripture calls born again. You've been saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell in eternity. Saved from hell on earth. Because now you have a covenant with God. And it's a covenant that He will not break. Everything God has now belongs to you. And you need to start right now learning more about this new life that you have in Christ Jesus. And that's why Kenneth Copeland Ministries has put together a free salvation package that we want to send to you. It includes a book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. With that book, we're going to send you two brochures that are just there to help you start learning how to read, how to study your Bible. You know, you look at that Bible and there ought to be one question on your mind. What's in it for me? And what's in it for you is life, life eternal. What's in it for you is the blessing of the Lord. And what's in it for you is to grow so much in His love and His goodness that it overflows out of you into the lives of other people. That's this new life you have in Jesus. So today, go to KCM's website, kcm.org, order this package. And then while you're there, look around. There's so many things there just to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. Study the scriptures, find out who you are in Jesus and who He is in you.
Every available voice. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has received the Lord's directive to spread the gospel from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around through every avenue possible. In 1973, KCM started publishing The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Since the beginning, the magazine has been a shareable resource with word-based articles by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and special guest teachers. Through the decades, the magazine has helped millions worldwide build their faith and encourage their daily walk with God. The Good News Gazette in the center of each magazine is where you'll find inspiring testimonies from partners all over the world.
You have a reassurance that what He did for one, He'll do for the other, and He's no respecter of persons, and He can do it for you too.
Today, almost 390,000 physical copies of The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine are distributed each month to 198 countries and territories on four continents in six languages. In addition, the magazine can be read online at kcm.org and shared with your family and friends from your computer or mobile device, all with a click, sending the word to more people in more places faster than before. Partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries and receive your free magazine.
Partnership with Kenneth Copeland Ministries means a couple of things. First of all, one, it means a greater authority and understanding through the teaching into my life and my family. But it also means a greater evangelistic tool that I get to partner with, you know, just in my prayer and in my seed, which is a great privilege for me to do.
There's a personal hands-on experience that you'll get that you won't be able to find anywhere else, where you can actually learn things and then apply them to real life and see results right away.
With each class, it takes you higher and higher.
I love all the instructors and how they impart to us the things that the Lord has laid on their hearts to share with us. They give us a new love for the Word.
You better preach what you learn here. Praise God. Listen, I'm telling you, you start out, you listen to it, and you listen to it until it comes out of your mouth. Glory to God. But when it comes out of your mouth, it'll have your anointing on it. And it'll come out like me. It'll come out like you. Glory to God.
Everything that I'm learning here will carry on and is preparing me for the next step.
Take the next step. Apply today.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. Now you can text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.